Lord, we are amazed at how awesome you are. Your love is unfathomable for us. I'm sort of in awe of this opportunity to share this message. Your message runs deep to all of us. I ask that you would protect them from my ineptitude and sort of my crazy delivery style. I just ask that you would give them you, Lord. Just give them you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our verse of the day is Colossians 4:2. So if you have a Bible with you, if you have a Bible app, whatever, look it up. I'm going to share it in a couple different versions. So bingo, might be your version as I share today. So this one is Colossians 4:2 from the Living Bible. Don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come. R.A. Torrey has a book in your little library, and it's called How to Pray. And he says in there, I must pray, pray, pray. I must put all my energy and all my heart into prayer. Whatever else I do, I must pray. When I became a new believer in Christ at age 37, 20 some years ago, I was encouraged by a dear friend to devote myself to prayer. I'd been reading my Bible a bit, going to church, you know, kind of doing the do, but I hadn't really grasped what it was going to mean to walk out my life with the Lord. My friend lent me an 8-hour audio series, they weren't even DVDs back then, by a woman named Becky Terabasi about how Becky had committed to praying an hour a day. She shared that daily hour of prayer had completely changed herself and her family. I couldn't shake the idea. I kept coming back to it, so I decided to try it myself. For over 10 years, I spent an hour a day with my Bible and my journal, praying and crying out to the Lord to help me with my life. Please don't think that I tell you this because I'm super spiritual. At 37, I was a real mess. I needed all the help I could get to allow the Lord to renew me by transforming my mind. I just didn't know how he was going to do it or what that would all entail. The challenge to pray an hour a day seemed crazy, way beyond the amount of time I had available or the energy I had, but I couldn't shake the idea. So I jumped in and I started. And I continued with that 1 hour a day of Bible reading and prayer for over 10 years. It was October 10th this year when my pastor, John Donahue, asked me to teach at our little church. He gave me 3 choices of topics, and prayer was the first one. I knew as soon as I read it that God was calling me back to that 1 hour of prayer daily. Oh, I was still praying daily. I was still going through my daily Bible reading, jotting down a few scriptures, but when I went back to graduate school in 2008 to become a counselor, my hour of prayer shrank, just bit by bit. There'd been a part of my heart that really missed that daily extended hour-long time of prayer with the Lord. So last month, I recommitted my Bible and prayer time to be a full hour every day. I remember Becky Terabasi saying that there just wasn't enough hours in her day to add an hour of prayer. Do you feel like that? Yeah, me too. But the Lord is faithful to help us when we search for him. He woke Becky up morning after morning, well before her family woke up, so she'd be able to have that time to read and pray. Since October 10th, the Lord's been doing that for me again, too. He used to do that before I got lazy and convinced myself that 30 minutes or 15 minutes was going to be long enough. Now I can't sleep past 5 or 5:15 in the morning. If you're sincere, the Lord will really help you achieve your goal. There I am, awake and drinking my coffee with my Bible in my lap by 5:30. It's a sweet time for me, and I almost always enjoy being up that early. I gotta tell you, my evenings are a lot shorter, but I don't really miss watching the 10 o'clock news. I am not super spiritual. I can have a really caustic sense of humor, and I tend to bowl people over with my hyper energy. But I love Jesus, and I know he loves me. It's been that time of prayer year after year that has changed me into being a more peaceful, a better person. I hope my experience is going to encourage and inspire you. I'm excited to be committed to that full hour again, excited to see how the Lord's going to use it to grow me up in him more. Becky Terabasi had a system to her prayers. She suggested reading a passage from the Old Testament, a passage from the New Testament, a bit of Proverbs, a bit of Psalms. It's a way to read the whole Bible in a year, one day at a time, and I profit greatly from that system. Keeping one foot in the Old Testament, one foot in the New Testament keeps me grounded in the whole counsel of Scripture. There's wisdom in that. 1 year, I did a chronological Bible. Yuck-o-rama. The New Testament doesn't come around till like October. There is a whole year stuck in the old covenant with laws and bloody sacrifices and all this stuff. Jesus doesn't come. The Messiah, please, Lord, come. In about October. I thought it was agonizing. After that year, I went right back to one of those daily Bible, a little bit of everything. So I use a devotional to do that, where it's all kind of set up for me easy. I don't have to flip around in my Bible. If the Lord prompts you to a systematic study of his word, and I hope that my sharing today encourages you to do that if you don't already, you're going to find one that fits your needs. So while I read my four daily sections, I jot down a few verses that seem important for me right then or for people that I'm concerned about. But the key thing is that I write it down, because research says that when we read or hear something, over 80% of it is going to disappear by lunch if we don't write it down. So then I use an acronym to guide me as I journal my prayers for the rest of that hour. And that's in your notes. Point one is the word part. It stuck with me all these years because it's so easy to remember. And I offer it to you just as a suggestion. Point one is the P is for praise, some variation of, Father, you are good. A is for admit, I need help, heal me and forgive me. R is for request, they need help, whoever they may be. And T is thanks. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Using praise, admit, request, and thanks, I prayed an hour a day during both my kids' high school years. I prayed an hour a day when my daughter was in a difficult friendship that was sucking the life out of the beautiful young woman that I loved so much. I prayed an hour a day when she went off to Evangel University in Missouri, a long ways away, and we had to leave her there just days before her 18th birthday, so young. I prayed an hour a day when she called me and told me that she and her new friends were sneaking into large abandoned factory buildings and practicing their rappelling skills in the dark of night. And I knew she had never done any rappelling before, let alone illegally and in the dark. I prayed an hour a day when we had struggles with our oldest daughter. She had a serious illness during her pregnancy with our first grandchild, and I prayed an hour a day when that little boy was born, a preemie, came to live with Jack and I for 4 months while his mama fought her way back to health. I prayed an hour a day when my son went through a wrenching heartbreak over his first girlfriend in high school, and I literally held all 6'4" of him in my lap as he cried and sobbed. And I prayed an hour a day 2 years later when he came back as a senior from the high school state basketball championships in Tacoma then. And he was really sick, and he lost 18 pounds by Thursday. With a throat that looked like a pile of raw hamburger and none of the three antibiotics that the doctors tried would help, and he was so dehydrated when we got him to the hospital, his urine was brown. I prayed for an hour a day to get wisdom for the doctors to get him the help he needed as he was hospitalized, and they pumped him full of antibiotics and a whole bunch more fluids. The Lord taught me morning by morning as we prayed together to trust my loved ones in his hands, to trust that he was good and that his heart was good toward my kids, even when I couldn't see his hands at work. I prayed for an hour a day when my health deteriorated and I nearly bled to death twice in one summer through complications from Crohn's disease. I prayed an hour a day as we responded to one emergency after another, back and forth to Eugene, Oregon, when my parents were struggling with serious health issues before my mom passed away. I prayed an hour a day when I turned 41 and our pastor asked me to teach at church on a Wednesday night, and then on a Sunday, and then he asked me to lead women's Bible study. And I prayed an hour a day when my doubts and insecurities cried out, "Who do you think you are? You're a mess. You've done so many things that would horrify these people. What if they knew about your past? What about high school and college? And what about being divorced? You aren't worthy. You aren't able to tell anybody about God. You're just a mess." But as I prayed an hour a day, the Lord began to instill in me his truths. He pulled me toward him and out of the muck and mire of my own life, and he taught me how to trust him and not myself. I learned the importance of getting God's word into my head and my heart to replace all the junk that I'd spent 37 years putting in there. Now as I pray, my prayers are full of his word. I don't pray my own hopeless thoughts, my own empty excuses for my failures, my own desperation, or my own feelings of futility. My praises have become phrases from the Psalms about his goodness, his mercy, and his loving kindness. My prayers reflect faith and trust because they're his words and not my own. As I prayed an hour a day, I learned to believe what he said about me. that he'd redeemed my mistakes when his son, Jesus Christ, climbed up on that cross to take my punishment. As I read his word and I prayed an hour a day, he taught me that I was a new creation in Christ, that I could do all things through Christ who gave me strength. As I prayed an hour a day and I meditated on his word, he taught me that I was adopted into the beloved. I was his child, holy and blameless in his sight, no matter my past. As I prayed an hour a day and found myself memorizing his word, he taught me that he loved my children and my grandchildren, that he would hold them close and do them good. As I prayed an hour a day, his word got planted deeper and deeper into my heart as he taught me to lay down my life for my marriage and my husband, my best friend, and to honor him in my daily life with him. The Lord changed my prayers from, "Lord, can't you change Jack in this way or that way?" to, "Lord, help me be the wife that this man whom you love deserves." As I prayed an hour a day, he taught me about thankfulness and godly submission and peace and hope and love. As I prayed an hour a day, he encouraged me to share what he taught me. He opened the door for me to go back to graduate school at age 48 to become a counselor to help other people learn to know the freedom we have in Christ. As I share all this with you today, I pray that you will be encouraged and maybe inspired to ask the Lord if he would like you to be in a deeper relationship with him in prayer. I'm no special person. I'm just an ordinary woman who asks her extraordinary Savior to meet her for coffee in the morning. And he does. Colossians 4:2 says, "Don't be weary in prayer. Keep at it. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come." So let's define what is prayer. Point 2 in your fill-in. Simply put, prayer is communication with God. We can define communication this way. Communication is the mutual sharing of thoughts and ideas. It's to be known and to know another. So the rest of your point 2 is prayer is knowing and being known by God. It's being in relationship with God. Max Lucado is the author of the daily devotional that I use, and this is what he said he learned about prayer. "When I read about other people's prayer lives, mine had seemed wimpy by comparison. I would hear about them praying for many hours, praying in a spiritual language, praying with great volume and passion, and I would say, well, I'm a wimpy prayer warrior." Max goes on and says, "The discovery I made that really helped me is that it's not the volume or the duration that makes prayer make a difference. It's the relationship with God. I don't know if God cares if you pray an hour a day, but I know that he cares that I do. He knows how much I need that. But I know that he does care that you pursue a relationship with him. I used to believe that the God of the universe, the one who breathed the stars into place, wasn't interested in a relationship with me. I thought prayer was only for emergencies, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes, that kind of idea. Now I know that he cares because the Bible tells us things like he knows the number of dyed hairs on my head, that he's going to instruct us and teach us, he's going to counsel us. He's going to have his loving eye on us. He knows when we sit and when we rise. He knows our thoughts when we go out and when we lay down. He knows our words before we say them. His thoughts towards us are precious and more than the grains of sand on the seashore. And when I come near to him, he draws near to me. That's the God who meets me when I pray. That's the God who speaks to me through his word. And he is your God the instant you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The star-breathing creator of heaven and earth wants you to communicate with him, and he asks you to pray as your way to do that. I'm living proof that Lord changes, that the Lord changes us as we commit to a deeper relationship with him through prayer. I'm going to give you 11 reasons why prayer is important. We're going to go from 11 down to number 1. These 11 are loosely taken from your R.A. Torrey book down in your little library called How to Pray. In your notes, you have the scripture references. I'm not going to take the time to read them all, but I hope you look them up and highlight them in your Bible. Why does God ask us to pray? There's power in prayer, and he will honor your commitment to pray as he leads you. Perhaps that will be to make a commitment to set aside time an hour a day. Counting down our reasons why prayer is important. First, number 11, because there is a devil. The devil is the enemy of any believer. We're told he's the father of lies. Without reading the Bible and praying for discernment and revelation, those are lingo Christian words that mean, "Lord, help me understand and remember what I'm reading." If I don't have that, I am susceptible to false teaching, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7 talks about gullible women. Before I learned the truth, I was a gullible woman. I believed false teaching, oftentimes because it had a little ring of truth to it from my childhood Sunday school days. Lukewarm, Bible-illiterate believers like I used to be are sitting ducks for false teachers. Reason number 10, prayer is so that we can ask for the right things. We're told we can receive what we ask for because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. Have you ever been in a mall and seen one of those like 9-foot-tall gumball machines where you put in your money and this huge gumball comes out and it goes around and around and around and then plops down in your hands? God is not a giant cosmic gumball machine. He does not grant wishes like genie in a bottle either. The more we get to know him by prayer and getting his word into our minds and hearts, the more our requests please him because they line up with his nature. The more we get to know him, the less we find ourselves chasing the useless things of this world and asking him for them. When I first became a born-again believer those 20-some years ago, we sang this song that used to grate on my nerves. Until I started really reading the Bible for all it was worth, I thought this was brainwashing. The lyric goes, "Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will and form it to yours, O Lord." As I prayed an hour a day, the Lord taught me that he was going to brainwash me. One day at a time, he washed all those articles I'd read in Cosmo magazine, all the trashy books I'd read, all the R-rated movies, all the skinky experiences I'd taken a part in, all the unwise relationships I'd had, all of it. He washed it right out of my identity while he gave me a new identity. He gave me new desires, new priorities, and a new life. He made me a new creation in Christ as he transformed me by renewing my mind. As I prayed an hour a day, I learned to love that song. Reason number 9, because all the disciples prayed. Those who were closest to Jesus on earth acted as if prayer was the most important thing they could do. Reason number 8, because Jesus prayed often and long during his years of ministry here on earth. It's even told to us that he prayed all night, early in the morning. Reason number 7, because Jesus, now and until his triumphant return, is in constant prayer for us. It's the most important part of his present ministry as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Reason number 6, because prayer is the way God told us we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we're in need. Knowing God's word and praying gives us sensitivity to know God's will, so that our desires are conformed to his will. Make no mistake about it. Remember, God is not that big cosmic gumball machine. He is not going to respond to our every whim. As our will is conformed more and more to his, our requests take on different flavors. However, that does not change his word that says we can come boldly before his throne. I always think I should stride like that guy that played the King and I guy. Anyway, I should stride boldly before the throne and receive mercy and grace in our time of need. That mercy and grace may be the power to stand firm in the midst of the trial, not to be released from it, but to stand firm in it with that mercy and grace holding us strong in the Lord. Reason number 5, because Jesus told us that we can receive fullness of joy when we pray in his name. Praying in Jesus' name will give us complete joy. Who the heck doesn't need that? So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? I'm going to again quote to you from R.A. Torrey, but this is a modernized version of the way he described it. I thought this was really cute. So, I'm driving down the street, and I'm going to my credit union, and I'm taking them a $10,000 check that I wrote on my account because I want to cash it. Go up to the drive-up, and I hand the teller my $10,000 check, and she immediately goes to my account and looks to make sure I've got that in there. And she leans over and says, "Judy, you don't have that much money in here." She's going to reject my check. But if I go with Bill Gates's check, written to me and signed by him, and I go to his bank, his teller's going to look up Bill Gates's balance. She's going to honor that check, give me the $10,000, and say, "Here you go, Mrs. Wright. Have a nice day." They're not going to ask me if I have any money in Bill Gates's account. They're just going to need to know how much money Bill Gates has in there. The same is true when I go to the Bank of Heaven. When I go to God in prayer, I have absolutely no credit there. If I go in the name of Judy, I'll get absolutely nothing. But Jesus Christ has unlimited credit in heaven. He has granted me the privilege and authority of going to his bank of mercy and grace with his name on my checks. When I go with his check, my prayers are going to be honored. I have no ground to stand before God except the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, and that's enough. The bank of Jesus Christ is never overdrawn. It's overflowing with grace. He gives me the right to come before the Father to receive joy as I pray in Jesus' name. Reason number four, we are to pray so we can have peace. Did you know, this is something I learned in my counseling training, that our brains designed by God cannot fire with anxiety and fear and gratitude and love at the same time? Those two parts of your brain cannot both work at the same time. We can't be anxious and thankful simultaneously. Our brains can't physically do that. Thankfulness is our God-given antidote to fear. Praying with a thankful heart and words of gratitude on our lips actually removes our anxiety. Does prayer change our circumstances? Sometimes. But it always changes us in the midst of our circumstances as we submit to him. Reason number three, because the Lord uses it as the way for us to receive the Holy Spirit. As believers, we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ as our Savior. But we can receive a greater filling of the Holy Spirit for specific moments when we ask for it through prayer. In Romans, we're told that that same Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we have only wordless groans. That's in Romans 8:26. I have days of wordless groans. A year ago, when my daughter Katie went through a miscarriage and then thyroid cancer as a brand new mama, when I was laying on the bathroom floor thinking I was bleeding to death, when our first grandson was under 4 pounds in the NICU and his mama was too sick to even hold him, I groaned more than I prayed. But how comforting it is to know that the Lord sends his Holy Spirit to pray for us when all we have is wordless groans. Reason number two, we are to pray because it makes our hearts ready for Jesus' return. R.A. Torrey says, we live in an atmosphere that has a constant tendency to unfit us for Christ's coming. Isn't that the truth? The Bible says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. How can we do that if we don't pray and ask for help? Before we go through reason number 11, I want to address a very key point. Why don't we always get what we ask for in prayer? What are the hindrances to our prayers? Why, if Scripture tells us to ask for things, don't we get them? Verses taken out of context encourage those prosperity gospel people that try and convince us that God really is that giant cosmic gumball machine. I want to suggest to you that God tells us through the whole counsel of Scripture why our prayers may be hindered. It kind of distills it down in James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God, then. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you want and need help to resist the enemy's efforts to derail you, we must first submit ourselves to God. That's the main reason that we don't pray and why we don't get what we want. Our independent spirits don't want us to submit. And that's the final fill-in you have. Our lack of submission to the Lord's will, to his way and his timing, is why we don't pray and we don't get what we ask for. But even Jesus submitted. He submitted to his Father when he was on his way to the cross, and he said, not my will, but yours. Here are some examples to kind of highlight when our hearts aren't really submitted to God. When we have selfish purposes and prideful attitudes. If I'm praying for my own glory and profit, the Lord's unlikely to grant my request. When we're in willful sin, if I choose not to listen to the conviction of the Lord's Holy Spirit as I walk in willful sin, then the Lord tells me he's going to choose not to listen to my prayers. When we have idols in our hearts, when we're being stingy, this is kind of a big one, Luke 6:38, for the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. We aren't submitting when we have unforgiveness in our hearts. When we have a wrong relationship between husband and wife, and we aren't submitting ourselves to God when we have unbelief. We hear him, but we choose not to believe that. That's depressing, isn't it? It's kind of a long list of areas where lack of submission could hinder our prayer life. Well, good news, loved ones, the Lord tells us exactly what to do when our hearts are pricked with lists like this. Pray together for healing of our lack of submission. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The solution is for us to confess and pray together. That makes our prayers effective and unhindered. The effective prayer is the person who, as best they can, we're all human, none of us are Jesus, of course, but as best they can, are completely submitted to God's will for answers, not to our own. It's the prayer who changes by a deeper relationship with God in prayer. I said this earlier. Does prayer change our circumstances? Sometimes. But it always changes us in the midst of our circumstances. Before we move on to the 11th and final reason why we're called to pray, I need to talk to a couple of you in here. I know there's some people who just don't believe that God listens to your prayers. I could talk all day about praying and it would just fall on deaf ears because you don't think you have enough faith to pray, or you don't know if he really listens. Perhaps you've prayed for some really, really important things in your life and God's let you down. I can't finish today without talking to that. Please allow me to speak to that because I lived that for a long time. I could believe that other people could pray, that other people could hear from God. Well, for a long time, I didn't even think that was true. I also thought that maybe other people's faith was what God listened to, and I didn't have that kind of faith, so God wouldn't listen to me. I was just too broken for God to listen and care. Those are lies. They're twisted, evil, God-defying lies that are not the heart of our God in heaven. They're lies. R.A. Torrey said, trying to believe something you want to believe is not faith. Believing what God says in his word is faith. If I'm to have faith when I pray, I must find some promise in the word of God in which to rest my faith. One Bible promise I learned to believe is that if we seek him, we will find him. God proves to honest seekers that he's real. Trust him to do that for you, and he will, one day at a time. He doesn't always answer my prayers in my preferred timing. Sometimes he answers them in ways I would not prefer at all. Sometimes, though, he answers them quickly and amazingly better than I could imagine. And always he proves that he's with me and cares about me in all circumstances. Please hear my heart on that, loved ones. God will prove himself faithful to you if you honestly seek him through his word and prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, don't be weary in prayer. Watch for God's answers and remember to be thankful when they come. Reason number 11. Because our diligent, constant, wide-awake, thanksgiving, devoted prayer actually accomplishes great things. Here's four quick examples. It grows us up spiritually. That comes first. The Bible says we're not to live on spiritual milk like a baby lives on mama's milk. We're to grow up, mature, and chew on the meat of the word, and that meat is what guides our prayer life and matures us. Second, it brings power into our work. Effective prayer is powerful because it invokes the Holy Spirit. That's the most powerful force in the universe. Third, prayer causes others to come to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who changes hearts and minds, not us personally, but it's our cooperation with the Spirit in prayer that is effective in ministering to unbelievers. And fourth, prayer brings blessings to the church. That roaring lion, the devil, would just as much like to ruin all of our churches as ruin us as individuals. As we each pray and we ask the Lord to reveal the condition of our own hearts, we're going to find conviction. Conviction for things like heresy, for being easily offended, for jealousy, unforgiveness, bitterness, gossip, comparison, insecurity, slander, indifference, pride, laziness, you name it. Since October 10th in my morning time with the Lord, he's been talking to me about fear of man. Even as I stand here, there's a subtle little voice back here saying, are you sure they're going to like you? What if they judge you? What if they don't like what you're saying or how you're saying it? That fear of man would hinder how I teach or how I counsel. We all have insecurities and fears that are contrary to the word of God and our identity in Christ. I have to confess mine to other believers. I have to bring it to the Lord in prayer, and I have to ask that you pray for me too. You're called to do the same in the areas of life that the Lord is speaking to you about. If we don't, we're going to be powerless and stuck, unable or unwilling to be the men and women he's asking us to be in our families, in our workplaces, and in our churches. That's how our churches will be blessed by the prayer lives of its members. Our churches will be a powerful force for Jesus in our communities if we allow the Lord to change our hearts and guide our prayers. As we pray, listen, and repent, the Lord will bring revival. Olympia needs revival. State of Washington needs revival. Our country needs revival, especially as we're picking a president this week. Revival starts with one. Me? Starts with you, one believer at a time. Today, I've shared with you my personal prayer journey. I've shared a prayer pattern, part, praise, admit, request, and thank. I've shared scriptures about prayer, examples of things that hinder our prayers, and I've given you 11 reasons why we should pray, ending with that our prayers actually bless what God wants to do through our churches. I hope I have encouraged you to pray more. Did you know that 1 out of 5 unbelievers prays daily? It's kind of amazing. What would it take for you to be more devoted to prayer? I had the privilege of seeing my prayer mentor, Becky Tarabassi, live at a conference. And she asked us to stand up if we wanted to make a public commitment to pray 1 hour a day. I stood up and made that choice, even though I was embarrassed and insecure, not sure I could really follow through on that. Is the Lord prompting you to make that commitment to Him today? Who here is willing to stand up and say, maybe you are already doing that and you want to continue, or He wants you to start now to set an extended time every day in prayer and Bible with Him? If you are, I'm not going to look up, but I'm going to pray over you, and I ask that you would really make that public commitment. Okay, Lord, I'm taking this, I'm jumping off, and I'm going to say I'm going to do it, and I'm going to pray using part. P, Lord, you are amazing. We praise you for your wisdom, for your love, and for your grace for us. Admit, forgive me if I've not committed clearly enough today what you told me to share. I ask that your Holy Spirit would fill in any gaps or inconsistencies. R, request. You say that we are to pray diligently, staying alert and with our eyes wide open in gratitude. Lord, these people have felt the tug on their hearts from you today. Bless them as they follow through with that, humbly and honestly, starting tomorrow morning. Lord, I ask that you would help us all submit to you in prayer. Watch you bring revival to your people, to your church, and to your land. And Lord, we praise and thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends in Jesus, brothers and sisters, I thank you for allowing me to come and share this message with you about prayer. I'm going to have coffee with Jesus tomorrow morning, and I hope you're there too.
Please stand.